Well, here we are. This is Mark Stanton Welch, and this is the 8th of December. This is Tools for the Times, Session 5, Part 2, Prayer, the Conscious Connection. Tonight we're looking at filling in some of the bits of information that were unapproached last time we actually had the call, and then adding some very specific prayer practices. And do know that upon tonight's completion of the call, I will be further augmenting the support page here under the section called Empowerments and Resources. I just did not create the space to be able to finish those up, so I'll be doing that. I'm drawing a great deal from the work of the Ascension Manual, Sa Kaiv Ram, in terms of the actual assortment of prayers. And I will also be including one that I just couldn't locate, which was the some new versions of the Lord's Prayer. It's a potent prayer because of how many times it's been said, but there are some, let's just face it, some better ways to say it that are more empowering as opposed to sending us in the other direction of prayer. As the information started to flow with me tonight and I started looking at these three sections called the Practice of Conscious Connection, Into the Mystic, and Listening to and Expanding Guidance, I started to begin to see, you'll see as I read them, I went in a little bit of a different direction, but we are certainly in alignment with what I'm saying here. But prayer traditionally, and even as I listed the types of prayer and the more types of prayer in the previous call, we're used to perceiving prayer as a certain kind of form, there's a certain reason it's going on. And quite honestly, most often it is because somebody's in a difficult situation or in trouble or in need. And that's all well and good. And we see that after looking at the types of prayer and the more types of prayer sections that there are oh so many more ways of using it. But as we start to move towards the notion of conscious connection and realizing that we are an active participant in life, not just an innocent bystander, or certainly not victims of life, we begin to see that our choice to be in that connection is a foundational element of how life begins to show up for us and life continues to show up for us. So once again, sorry, there's a lot of directions to go here. I'm just paying attention. I'm looking right now at the pictures on the page. I don't know if you had a chance to look at them. One of the flowers in the field there with the sun shining through and a rays of light coming across to underscore the mystical and divine elements of the moments of living and how they show up and how too often we ignore them, don't pay attention, or at the very least give them their due. And I'm reminded of how much time I spend down at the coast, oftentimes in the late afternoon, waiting for the sunset and getting a chance to clear my vibration and then stand there with my camera and take not only pictures of the sunset itself, but the cloud formations, the play of light in the sky against the clouds, and also the play of light in the sand and all of that. Me being on Highway 1, the place where I go, it's just a stopping point for a lot of people to stop and do picture taking. And they'll pull in as they head south or north at this beautiful place and spend a moment gawking at the sunset, taking selfies of themselves in the sunset, being more concerned with, you know, making sure that they're in the picture as opposed to embracing and drinking in the grace and the magnificence of the experience of what they're participating in. And then they take a picture or two, a snapshot, and then head on down the road. Now, I understand that everybody's going somewhere, and we're all in the process, but the gift of hanging around while the light does its dance is one of the most prayerful things that I can do. And in that frequency of making conscious connection with all that's going on there, I find that guidance drops in, insight comes in, certain healings take place because energies are exchanged. I even have create relationship with the stones and the rocks that I'm drawn to. There's so much that's going on because I chose to give it my attention and surrender to it. And to me, the new forms of prayer and the new ways of looking at it are less religious, but more personal and relating to a deeper connection with all of life. So let's look at some of the things that I have brought up here, and then we'll get into some practices. So I am going into the prayer practice of conscious connection, and this is what came up, and this will be a reading more as opposed to an activity, although there are suggestions of what you can do on your own time. There was a pivotal push several thousand years ago when the masses were diverted from their personal connection with spirit, the higher self, and source. Being convinced that most humans had no capacity to contact the unseen left them easy prey for manipulation and the further implanting of limited thinking that was purposefully disempowering. Putting God on the outside certainly diverted one's attention from the inner presence and power, and as a result, people easily became isolated and compromised, fell into to feelings of hopelessness, and gave power, resources, and money away to the priests and the quote-unquote holy ones who claimed to be the medium, the communicators with God. Well, it does not take a rocket scientist to see the folly in this. This classic Piscean manipulation has served religion and hierarchical humanity for quite some time. In fact, organized religions exert a great deal of control over the masses who are seduced by their promises. People have become spiritually lazy and are willing to give money to buy special dispensations in favor from the god of their allegiance, just so they don't have to deal with it. Now, I put this out because I'm certainly not talking to you and me in terms of these practices, although that may have been a part of the way you approached it in the past. But what I bring it up for is because this is an energy that's underneath and it permeates the way things have been. And because of that, it becomes a dilution, meaning that it's diluted. It dilutes our capacity to stay continually in a place of interconnectedness with that consciousness and the connection that exists there. That was just an aside. New Age thinking and evolving paradigms have gone to great lengths to reawaken the inner knowing that God lives inside and that every being has the capacity to have direct contact with the source of all. With the advent of the quickening energy that has flooded the planet steadily since 1987 and the subsequent Aquarian crossing that took place in December of 2012, everyone is feeling the stirring of the inner knowing. Even devoted and diehard, devoted and diehard devotees of the old forms are beginning to see the manipulation that has been de rigueur, and are turning to the growing audible voice that calls from the inner being. The doorway is open and the reality of conscious connection is revealing the oh so much more. Conscious connection is the recognition and acknowledgement that each has a direct relationship with God's source. Two-way communication has always been possible, and now it is finally being claimed by an evolving number of souls waking up. Engaging in this conversation with God removes a host of misperceptions and misinformation, read into that lies, to reveal our constant contact that accompanies our moments of living. You see, we're talking really here, and this is an aside, we're talking a great deal about guidance, and as we look more deeply into guidance, it is certainly going to reflect our process of prayer and the conscious connection with all of life. To be open like this is to realize that we are not isolated and limited. And that's a very, very important element. Regardless of what we perceive of, what God is or source is, whatever that is, it's stepping out of our tendency to feel overwhelmed because of forms and circumstances and then feel like we have nowhere to go. back to the reading, in the practices of meditation, reflection, questioning, and dialogue, beautiful beings like you and me are finding new direction and understanding to not only the true design, but also the infinite possibilities available to one and all. Entering this land, we touch the hem of the oneness garment and begin to experience a deep connection and relationship of all life to itself and all its forms. As an aside, this is the great gift of this awareness, is that we begin to find how sweet the interconnectedness is. And in that process, it opens us to step out of the ways we perceive things up until now and begin to see with new eyes, with an open heart, that invites in a whole different frequency and a whole set of new forms of experience that really just don't repeat, because it's a completely evolving, moving energy that changes form constantly. Well, I was driving back from Las Vegas. If you drive on, what's the highway? It was on 10, heading out of Phoenix. Actually, I was down in Phoenix after I went to Las Vegas, and I came back to Phoenix. It's a town called Quartzsite. Now, Quartzsite is one of those communities in the Southwest where the snowbirds, you know, they descend upon it in the winter, and the snowbirds are people from all over the country who go down there to stay warm. And it's out in the desert, and it's just a town that swells up to 20,000 people come in there, Winnebagos and campers and everything else, and they just live there during this time and during this part of the year. So the whole area is devoted to supporting that process, but it's also a place where you can find lots of stones and minerals and rocks and other accoutrements of the desert, and borderline New Thought and New Age elements. There's one particular place by a gas station there, just on the corner, the last turnoff as you're heading west, that is not a particularly good-looking store, but it basically looks like a corner lot just filled with tables filled with rocks. And to most people, it's like, what the heck do I want to go there for? But once you cross the chain through the chain link fence and get on the inside, you begin to start to be able to connect with the nuances of the mineral world and the really deep connection with the earth that happens with these elements on the table. Because most of them, well, there's a whole section of the unprocessed stones. And there are so many variations of color, even with the same kind of mineral, you're looking at an incredible group of variations of the nuances of how they are. It's very easy to get into a prayerful state and connect with just the history of what this stone has, the history of what it has delivered and what it's been through in its creation process. And in so doing, it brings a particular frequency that when one engages it by looking at it or holding it, a prayerful exchange takes place and energy is passed back and forth. And some of them are so strong that they go in the little basket, the little shopping basket that you walk around on the dirt with. My boots got dusty, my hands got dirty, and I just got a chance to connect with all these incredible stones. And it's really like the kid in the candy store where I go, oh, I got to have this one and this one and this one and this one. The next thing I know, I got a bag full or a basket full. And then I go into a more deep and a more prayerful connection, because some of the connections with the stones were very temporary and very quick. And me grabbing them and putting in the basket was a devotional process that I went through. And in so putting it in the basket, they already had delivered their information to me. They had answered whatever energetic prayer I had set out. And so when I looked at them again, on one hand, because I was going through and seeing how much this was going to cost me, and then going through and deciding what I really didn't want, I began to feel that the connection I had with some was already delivered. So I walked back and set them back in the place where I had got them, which added another 20 minutes to the process. But in so doing, my eye was brought to other elements. Let's just say I spent a good hour and a half there looking and came away with a nice assortment of some things that were incredibly powerful and so powerful that I had to bring them home to use in the work that I do in my workshops and in individual sessions. So here's an example of, I would say in many ways, prayerful living. Not being seduced by the forms, and let's face it, I was done from a long trip and I had some time on my hands, although I really wanted to get home. But I wasn't seduced by the accoutrements of culture that were there, which was all the stores, the other things, and the places that were wanting to get my business. But I found a place that was very earthy, that was very connected, at least in my perception, and I spent time with it. That is conscious prayer. And whether I knew it going in that I was coming here to pray is kind of irrelevant. What happened while I was there is that I had relationship with these elements, and energy was exchanged, information was delivered, communication took place, and I felt my vibration rise. And I walked away in a very, very beautiful state to witness a beautiful sunset. It was a good stop. Okay, back to the writing here. One must simply know that communication is possible, and then pause to focus and then begin dialogue, trusting without hesitation that answers and information will come in the nuances of the next moment. The holiest places are right where we are when we turn the razor of our awareness to the ever-connected I am that I am. This little paragraph is very important. And we've underscored this all through Tools for the Times. It's the awareness of the information and allowing it to deliver the goods to each of us individually sets the stage and primes the pump so that new elements, new energies start to then be magnetically attracted. Because you and I have opened to a moment and what it entails and the information that came with it, we are now at a higher frequency through which we then begin to attract something that is in resonance with that frequency. So the more we follow our own process of one, being open to it, and then starting to pay attention so that it begins to deliver, engaging in a dialogue with it so that we can have that relationship, accepting what is offered and then acting upon it, those are the elements that keep the river flowing, that keep the exchange of the light and the exchange of the higher vibration and the spiraling up into our true vibration in constant motion. And the holiest places are right where we are when we turn the razor of our awareness. In other words, the more primed our focus is. See, it's not a cursory glance, although at times that's the thing that reveals the bigger picture. In these moments, as we turn our attention, the razor sharpness of our focus onto something, we're turning it really on to that essence of the I am that I am expressing as us. And that is something that delivers in infinite spades. So let's go into the mystic and see what came up for this. Our conscious experience with life has been a limited dimensional experience. The education and we have been fed champions the limited viewpoint. Opening up to the multidimensional reality that coexists shatters that old forms and opens us to the mystical channels, places beyond the quote-unquote normal views and experiences of the earth plane. Apparently, we are tethered to a narrow spectrum of the infinite oneness, according to the old wise ones. Understand what I'm saying, a narrow perspective of the infinite oneness, a narrow spectrum of the infinite oneness. And again, this is built upon our experiences and what we have surrendered to, bought into, took on, made up, believed, all of those things begin to form how the things show up for us. The mystical, okay, I said according to the old ones, and then they said not so. there is and always has been so much more. The crossing, follow the word. I'm not sure what this sentence means. I wrote the crossing follows the, okay, the crossing of that point or that line crosses, follows the awareness and the choice to explore. Okay. We already do so in the dream state, in psychotropic experiences, in altered states. We already move into the mystical. We have simply been fed a whitewash of an agreed-upon normal and then diagnosed as mad, demented, insane, etc., when we dare to venture into the greater expanse. Hear what I'm saying on this. Old labels, perspectives out of the quote-unquote ordinary or the normal will quickly be met with a raised eyebrow or a pointed finger or a label that is meant to limit our exploration and in many ways diminish it so others can feel comfortable. Now, in some ways, what this implies is that the mystical path and the process of reawakening to the big picture is a lonesome road. And in some ways it is, because until those around us raise their vibration, we can be on a solitary path as we begin to explore and expand. Now, we know enough right now that because of vibration as it is, that the more you expand and open and explore and embrace these energies, the greater the vibration and the power of it to impact those around us. So quite honestly, you doing your work, you doing your play, you doing your remembering can really transform a household. Now, having said that, I would certainly invite us not to look at certain specifics of how we expect the household to transform, because transformation is a the word that first came was a slithering process, because it moves in accordance to what has been there and follows the inner guidance of he or she who is choosing to expand. So the forms are going to be very unique to the person. They may not serve the moment at first blush. They may not serve our intention and hope or wish at the first blush. But I'm getting to the point now where it's just always trusting the light. It's trusting the wisdom of the moment and saying yes to it and then seeing what happens. The last thing I'm going to do anymore, as often as I can remember, is to hold still based upon an old perspective or an old paradigm or an old experience or an old belief. The mystical is beyond the normal. We are all capable. So why not go there? Back to the writing. The mystical is a mystery because it is unfamiliar. Actually, it is an extension of an active imagination. The very sense of wonder that accompanied our incarnation and began to flourish when we were young until we surrendered to coloring in the lines. So hear what I'm saying. The mystical has kind of been perceived and presented as something that is not available to all of us. And yet, if indeed what I'm saying here and what has been given is that it is just really a conscious and powerful use of our capacity to have imagination and to explore our sense of wonder, I think that's a great idea, because it's already there. And all we have to do is turn it on again. So I say, let us step out of the cloak of limitations and say hello to the greater than that. Say hello to the greater than that sweeps through each moment we choose to walk into. Obviously, I was in a rush. This sentence does not make sense, but it says, step out of the cloak of limitations and say hello to the greater you. Or to the greater that sweeps through each moment we choose to walk into. Okay, I just need to remove that word. Let me say it again. Let us step out of the cloak of limitations and say hello to the greater that sweeps through each moment we choose to walk into. now that I've cleared that up, I realize that again, you hear in all of these words that are coming so often about choice. This is the nature of this dimension, that we have to make choices about things. And again, all of our opening up and getting information and stepping into our power, all it's really about on one hand is giving us the power to have a choice. Yeah, we always had it, but let's say it's not the power, it's the willingness. And reducing the hesitation to act upon, to make a choice and act upon it. You are connected, and I am, as I am connected. The veil is thin, and the esoteric world has been calling for a very long time for us to turn our gaze inward, to truly get outward. So choose to put the mystical in motion by remembering that nothing is as it seems. The comfort zone of the known experience and subsequent claimed beliefs only serves to divert us from the greater, juicier life that pushes to reveal itself with each breath, with each gaze, with each choice to walk in temporary blind faith. See things differently, creating relationship with the deeper moments that you so easily turn away from. Listen to the sounds that are flitting. Follow the flashes in the corner of the eye. Run into the call of a new direction in the now. The real world is demanding that we jump into the endless abyss that contains it all. So I didn't even put real world in quotation marks, because the real world is starting to reveal itself. The illusion, or the matrix, as that series of movies so beautifully said, presented, is really the collective buy-in that has purposely been a limiting element for you and for I and for all others. So the more willing you are to enter, then the more will be revealed. Your frequency-based guides are a legion of expansive moments that show you the far reaches of your undeveloped imagination. And by frequency-based guides, I'm just saying that your frequency is the vehicle that calls that legion forward for you. They resonate with you. And the thought just popped in there that, well, as I evolve and reawaken and my frequency changes, are these beings going to change? And I believe the answer is yes, because the guide is there for a specific purpose and a time while you are in a frequency. So the world of guidance and the world of interaction with prayer is an ever-oscillating, changing element, again, based upon your frequency and your capacity to wake up to who you are. So it says, reach for the unseen and act as if there will be reciprocation. Then run with the energy until it manifests. The cosmos is coming alive to us. It is inevitable that you walk with the common mystic and see the remarkable capacities that you have always had. To walk with the common mystic is to take it out of that special place and to treat it as if it is the way things are. I love being mystical. I love being in the mystery, because it's so inviting. It's so so present, and it dances. The energy just dances and invites change and invites movement. And because we have choice, we can step out of that at any point we decide to, in order to rest. So I say, quit giving your power away, believing that the few have the connections. That is so inaccurate. That in itself will tear open the fabric of the decaying old ways. Walk into the light with heart, eyes, and mind open, and invite the mystical to reveal itself in manageable doses so you can begin to ramp up into the glorious revelation that is just around the corner. Now notice what I said there. It says to walk into the light and bring it in measurable doses. Too many people call it kundalini, call it acid, call it any kind of psychotropic drug, ayahuasca, whatever the latest thing is that is a shortcut to awareness, or is a shortcut to seeing things as they really are. Sometimes they blow our circuits, and it takes time to recover from that. And the challenge of that, and in a sense the danger of it, is that we choose to then counter it with substances that make us go dark, that cause us to forget the light that is growing within us temporarily. So the invitation here is to start being the mystic that we all are. And it doesn't mean you have to become someone else and buy robes and then walk with a certain look, grow facial hair where there's no facial hair to be grown, whatever it's going to be. It's not posturing. It's just living in a certain element in your moments in a frequency of wide openness, knowing full well that you're well protected by your boundaries, by the information that you have gleaned in these time together and all that has come up as a result of hearing this information and you letting the true wisdom come from within you. All right, this third section before we actually get into the prayering is listening to and expanding guidance. So here's what was given here. Stop what you're doing. Feel your inner self. Notice what is happening. How much energy and effort has been expended staying uninformed and limited? You are a mighty conduit of vibration that is in alignment with universal energies, in constant communication with the far beyond the familiar. These are the great days when the facade collapses and the glory is showered upon your whole being, waking up cell after cell to the knowing of the loving relationship we are bequeathed by design. Stop the distractions. Quit running from the sounds of silence, from the arms of the endless moments that are filled with the very things you yearn for. Society and culture and technology are distractions. Useful, yes, but still purposeful diversions to keep you from hearing your beating heart and the deeper sound of your own voice calling you home. An increasing amount of time must be devoted to the nothingness that holds the codes to your awakening. An increasing amount of time must be devoted to the nothing that. An increasing amount of time must be devoted to the nothingness that holds the codes to your awakening. Feel life. Touch life. Taste life. Live life. It is certainly not about stuff or position or acclaim or being liked by all. It is about experiencing everything you are in increasing doses to reach the trigger point of wholeness. You do know that it's all leading to something. It's all leading to a point of awareness that I believe that this really then opens a door to all things. And the moment we start talking about that, we start to go, I mean, that part of me goes, well, am I going to still be me? Of course I am. I'm going to be the frequency that I've always been, and I'm going to be the knowing expansion of that, which I really can hardly even understand what that is yet. But I'm getting glimpses, just as I know you are. So here I say, listen to your heart. Listen to the silence. Listen to the wind. Listen to your child self. Reach out to the bigger picture. Call for assistance. Say hello to one another. Describe what you are feeling and give it to the ocean in unabashed play. Frolic in the way the clouds tease you with infinite design and pull you towards feeling everything with a soothing and vitalizing depth. Engage in dialogue. Talk to yourself. Then answer yourself and start to trust every word and especially the vibration underneath it. You are blossoming into a frequency that has never been felt before. And it has your name on it. It is the complete answer to all your prayers, your requests, your wishes, your hopes, your wonderings, your misgivings, your wounds. So the more you and I open to trusting this process, the more guidance will deliver. Are you ready for a multidimensional day? Are you willing to trust your design and know that you can be everywhere at once if you choose? Are you intrigued by this? then stop what you're doing and notice what is going on in the bigger picture of your current now. Look into the shadows. Talk out loud and ask 1,000 questions. Be grateful for everything and anything. Exercise the muscles of full-throttled and connected living with the delightful flow of the river of life. Ask for help. Know that it will come. Claim it and act upon the guidance. As a conscious being, there are simply no surprises. You trust so much that the moment's form is but the ticket to the stars, the next great adventure, the gift of a loving cosmos that will not settle any more for your choice of ignorance over bliss. Wow, it's like we've been reprimanded here by the great cosmos. But it's a strong talk. It's a push. It's a forceful awakening and reawakening to a knowing that we have to really, really begin acting upon these elements that we have come in touch with, that we've gotten, that we brought back into our awareness, all of these tools. As we talk about familiar concepts that have been established in a decidedly limited form, by the Piscean age, we have to stand on the head and shoulders of that and become something oh so much more, without hesitation. It's not a matter of fearing what's going to happen, but it's looking into and being willing to stand in that frequency because you are capable of doing so. And the reason to do it is just because that's who you are. The offshoot of that is it begins to impact the masses. That's not our job. It's strictly the result of doing the work. And by even saying work, yeah, there's some involvement in it, but it really is play. Uh-oh. My page didn't... I just went to get my... I'm going to have to hold on a sec while I see if I can recover this particular... Ah, jeez. Okay. Got a little bit of a challenge here. One page didn't show up, and my program is crashing. But what I will do in the meantime is on the page, on the very front page, there is a... where it has, says additional exercises. It says prayer is an individual process typically between you and, capital U, the creative source. There are elements that can augment the dialogue. And here are some of the suggestions of things to really support your process of quote-unquote prayer. Create a sacred space where you can pray. Establish some consistent rituals that allow you to set a frequency that is a magnetic vehicle through which inspiration and insight flow. Ritual creates a sacred moment, and that sacred moment becomes the tool that then attracts a new vibration to you. Your intention is the vehicle that is the magnet. And your willingness to walk into and do and repeat the motion are the things that create the consistency that then opens up the fabric that gives everything to you there. Consider using a prayer rug. In Western traditions, we don't use that, and many will even consider that to be something of the heathen activity. Jeez. Consider that. It's sacred. Another thing is to create and maintain an evolving altar. The reason it evolves because it's too easy to forget about it. It's too easy to have set up something that's sacred in one moment and then treat it like a picture on the wall that you don't even look at anymore because of familiarity. One way to do that is put something live on it, like a plant. And putting the plant there, you have to give it regular attention. Otherwise, your process will die. Use divination decks to provide direction. That's tarot cards, angel cards, runes, all of that. They're little kicks in the butt. They're little ways to look at something differently, especially when we're caught in the middle of something. And they are all prayers. there's a song, it's one of those new agey ones, a lot of the kids use it. They go, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying because we're thinking all the time. So as we refine our process and begin to see that these thoughts themselves are the magnetic elements that not only are bringing in an energy and vibration that is in alignment, but they're also setting the forms of the moments to come. And isn't that what prayer is about, asking for help and assistance? When this kind of prayer is actually delivering to us the capacity to actually create that which we desire, that we yearn for, that we wish for, because we can. It says here to become a monitor and a celebrant of grace. Instill an ongoing process and practice of gratitude. It's a potent prayer to just be grateful. Being grateful brings more to be grateful for. And by monitoring and celebrating grace, we are opening up to the beautiful, big, magnificent picture that is always there, and yet that too often we don't see. Things begin to happen. Ways of supporting us just unfold out of the blue, so to speak. There's a commercial that used to be for Volkswagen, and couple in their Volkswagen are driving, and they turn down a street. And as they turn down the street, the song that they are listening to, everything around them starts to line up in the beat of the song and the tempo of the song. People are walking in step with the song outside of the car. Someone is bouncing a basketball right in alignment with the beat of the song. And all this stuff is just right in alignment, locked into a beautiful, cohesive experience. And then they turn off the street and everything goes back to what it was. Except for the fact that they now have testimony of a new possibility. This is grace when things align for you, when they just show up because they show up. You have done a great deal to put yourself in the frequency that will allow that and support that in happening. I also say get out in nature and connect with the greater I am to amplify the power of your prayer activity. Next one says fast, don't eat, and use the time for reflection and communication within and without. Getting away from the distractions of the routines that we set up around food and the mindless action that is easily put into place is a way for us to create separation from that, which then amplifies our capacity to be receptive and aware because our resources are not going to digestion. It gives the body a rest and allows the mind and the spirit and the heart to open up in different ways. Another says, pray for others that their moments are softened by an ever-increasing awareness. The jury's out on praying for someone in terms of calling forth a particular form for them, because that's what we think would be the best and most desirable thing for them. Some would say that's an intervention and inappropriate. At the very least, it may be necessary, at least if it's someone you know, ask them what you would like, that indicating you would like to pray for them and with them. Ask what they would like. And then make that the prayer that you work with. Keep a journal of your prayerful thoughts. Insights come. Wisdom drops in like, you know, a leaf falling. And there it is. Why not write it down? Use your phone and make a recording of it. Why not? It came to you because it has information for you. Practice haiku and guided writing. Both of these invite us to get out of our own way and open to a receptivity that allows a higher perspective to come. Why not use them? Guided writing is using a non-dominant hand to access spirit, one of your guides. Some call it automatic writing. Why not? It's a very prayerful activity, and it's an actual visual answer to whatever it is that you're wondering about. Next one says, work with mandalas in coloring, drawing, and coloring, or as computer fractals. There are programs where you can actually design fractals, which are basic mandala forms, without using up crayons or without even coloring. The only downside, if there is that you're not necessarily using your hands in these spiraling motions and the movements that coloring involves. You're more combined in a really just using the fingers to type in elements within that. But it's still a visual and involves the other senses. Use breathing practices to open to receiving. Work with prayer flags. When I was in Kathmandu at the stupa, which is the Buddhist temple, in ceremony, there must have been 10,000 prayer flags coming from this moving off of the pure white temple peak. It was a rounded dome. It looked very much like an upside-down board game piece, like a Hershey's Kiss. And all of those beautiful prayer flags flapping in the wind. And we'd walk around the entire circumference of the stupa as the Buddhist prayers were going on. And the prayer flags would hit you in the face. And row after row after row after row of the prayer flags you'd walk into and through in a symbolic and metaphorical process of walking into and through your prayers. And it was beautiful. Another thing is use prayer beads and work with mantras. Another is to sing and chant intentional songs. And another is to dance and move and treat that movement and the dance as a prayer itself. And let the body reveal you the insight or the wisdom or the release that you've been seeking. Another is read sacred writings out loud. There's something with the flow of words in some of the sacred writings. Some of the prayers. I was going to use a bunch of the... There was a book from Marianne Williamson not long ago called Illuminata. Was that what it was? And yet her prayers, as I read through them, they were more about praying to a God who was far away. And it just didn't feel in alignment with the new frequencies that are going on these days. Having said that, it's a beautiful book with lots of elements in it that I think are great. But I didn't include them as any of the prayer practices. And if another, the last one I put in here, although the list will expand a little bit, is to perform service. Because in the doing of the service, what you actually are in the process of doing is living out a prayer. Showing up, doing the work, celebrating the results, making community happen. Okay, I'm in the process now of reopening this program, and it's going to take probably a minute or a minute and a half. I will do my best to keep chatting through it. Okay, the cosmos is getting in the way right here just to see what we're going to do. I invite you to pray to the great computer, to the great PC, that it does what it is supposed to do in this moment to reveal us the actual. Although I do have a way around it, I just realized that. See how quickly prayer is answered? Okay, let me see where this comes from. Business form, business plan. Okay, I'm just going to have to go to that. Thank you for your patience on this. In a moment, I invite you to just look around the room, pay attention to what's going on there, and just notice what's going on. Treat it as a prayerful moment of you observing and watching. Okay, looks like I've got one. Okay, I went to the wrong place. All right. So I invite you for a moment while I'm doing my best to solve this situation right here, is to go to your breath and just practice a little breathing as a prayerful activity, as something that is acquainting you and reacquainting you with the moment. I think what it is my computer needs to be shut down, because it's been sitting this way for a while. So I'm going to do that. This is interesting. Although I actually have one of the prayers here, but you don't have a copy of it, so it looks like I'm going to be reading it to you. This is called a Huna prayer. And again, this comes from Zakai Ram, from that book on the Ascension Handbook. This gentleman is down in Australia, and he's writing these kinds of things because I think it's way more acceptable down there to be coming from these kinds of cosmic frequencies. Don't know for sure. But one of the things about this prayer is that it's calling out to a host of energetic beings. And it's open-ended, and it invites you to insert specifics in there in terms of what you are in the process of praying for. So let me read it to you. And it says, "Beloved presence of God, Goddess, all that is, the Christ, the Holy Universal Mother Spirit, the Mahatma, the Melchizedek, Metatron, Enoch, Elohim, archangels and angels, the great divine director, Melchior, Lord and Lady Sirius, Lenduce, Vaiwamas, Lord and Lady Arcturus and the Arcturians, Sanat Kumara and Venus Kumara, Atlanto, Lord Ashtar and the Ashtar Command, the Mahakoan, Allah Gobi, Lord and Lady Buddha, Babaji, Yogananda, Sathya Sai Baba, Katumi, Lord Maitreya, El Moria, Dwaj Kul, Kuan Yin, Pallas Athena, Portia, Lady Nada, Amaya the Galactic Mother, Serapis Bay, Paul the Venetian, Saint Germain, Hilarion, Sananda, Mary Magdalene, the Great White Brotherhood, Mother Gaia, the Dolphins and the Whales, Pan and the Animal Kingdom, the Plant Kingdom, the Mineral Kingdom, the Devic and the Nature Spirits, the Elemental Kingdom, the subterranean city of Telos, and the Agartha Network, the Inner Earth Temple Workers, the Karmic Board, the entire planetary and cosmic hierarchy, my mighty I Am God Goddess Presence, my soul family, soul mates, monadic mates, twin flame, mission mates, and friends." Whew. That's an introduction. "I call forth your assistance through all dimensions across time and space for the manifestation of," and this is what you put in there, what you intend, "within my soul body and body of consciousness, for example, to create within me the new blueprint of relationship within my soul body and body of consciousness as an idea. I ask that this be written through all my bodies, the DNA of all my bodies. I ask for the full support of each of you until this new blueprint manifests through all dimensions of my reality and is made manifest in my physical life permanently. Through the power of my I Am presence and in full faith, I hereby ask and command that the blueprint and circuitry of my being within my genetic code and all bodies of my being within the aspect of my being known as Mark Stanton Welch holds the divine qualities of," and then you fill this in, rewriting your genetic, this is what you're doing, you're rewriting genetic, cellular, and karmic blueprint. I hereby command and ask that I experience this within myself and with whoever it is perfect for me to do so. I give thanks for all in my life that I have created up until now to allow my being to give myself this opportunity to create my truth. I accept this truth unconditionally as my truth and ask that this truth emanate from the very core star of my being, and that all that I call to assist me to co-create this new reality as divine relationship, as God as my witness, I ask this as a gift back to me, and I call for all energy that I may have released from my soul essence to return to me to create this. It is done as my soul wishes it to be. Beloved subconscious minds, we now ask and command that you take this thought form prayer with all the mana and vital force needed and necessary to manifest and demonstrate this prayer to God, Goddess, Holy Spirit, Christ, and God Force. Beloved presence of God, Goddess, and God Force, let the rain of blessings fall. So it is, and so it is. So being on the receiving end of that, obviously you can take this and work with it to put specifics in. But you could see the expanse of something like this. This is not a wishing and hope and prayer. This is a reclamation or a declaration of an intention that you're calling upon the greatest host of beings that are aware in this particular moment to be fully present for you and making manifest that which you desire. Feel the power of that kind of a thing as opposed to something where all I'm doing is asking for something to be taken care of. Ed McMahon has not come to my door. No matter how many magazines I bought back in the day, he did not come. That's not to say that he wouldn't come or never will. But what I'm aware of is that I have to put action in my feet. And as I make claim and invite the cosmos to show up for me in this process of prayer, in this new way, you see that you're really participating in the actual making of the results. Okay, let me, I'm digging through here to find another. I'm attempting to remember the ones that I've actually included. Let's go with this one. This is another prayer. It's for the God Presence Manifestation Decree. By divine decree, with the power, essence, love, and grace of God, Goddess, the seven mighty Elohim, and under the laws of grace, Lord, divinity, karma, love, divinity, karma, and forgiveness, I invoke my God presence to manifest the essence, embodiment, complete activation, and result of the highest possibilities of, and I insert my request there. And I ask the karmic board for complete karmic absolution between myself and anything that may be blocking this manifestation. And I ask for an angelic activation to release any agreements or vows that may block the manifestation of this request. And I ask that all divine channels be created to facilitate the manifestation of this with maximum grace and ease, and that I have an ever-expanding capacity to receive, embody, and implement this request in the ever-expanding now moment, so that the power of that will manifest fully and completely in my experience and divine awareness now. And so it is. This particular prayer is called Honor and Bless Everything, and Everything Will Bless You. It says here, bless and heal every waterway you encounter with the love in your heart, and it will get healthier. guaranteed. See all waterways returning to their natural state. See all dams disintegrating. Call in the high council of water beings, the divas, the angels, the dolphins, the whales, the fish beings, the mermaids, Helios and Vesta, the sun god and goddess, to help you. See all toxins disintegrating and fish and crustaceans able to detox and new generations able to easily propagate in this blessed water. You are this powerful, so bless and heal every waterway you encounter with your love, especially in your local area. You have the divine power to create a holistic environment wherever you live, regardless of what anybody else is doing. And here's the prayer. I call on the high council of water beings, the divas and angels, the dolphins and whales, the fish beings, the mermaids, and Helios and Vesta to help me now. I bless all the water on planet Earth with the divine creative love light that I am. Through the grace of God, Goddess, divine creation, and the seven mighty Elohim, I send healing energies of love through all of the waterways, bringing them to their original pristine, crystalline state of beauty. I love you, water. I love you, Aqua. I bless all the land upon Mother Gaia and all the crops who graciously grow for us to eat. Blessings to all plants and all creatures who have unconditionally and graciously given yourself to us for our consumption and learning. I bless you all and the divas who help you maintain your vibration amongst all adversity. I bless the farmers who grow our food for us, and I send you blessings of divine awakening and guidance that you may become in tune with the land and naturally grow to respect the land, plants, and animals upon her. And I bless the petrochemical industry and thank you for the service you have offered us. May you all find the love light within. See, part of the process of prayer, as I'm seeing in these, as we give these out, is that it's bigger than just us. And what happens when we start to go bigger than just us is the form of our challenge or the need that we have begins to expand and open. And we begin to get insight into maybe more about what's going on at a deeper level. And we begin then to get the insight that will allow us to create change. And sometimes the change is just stepping through or around what is nagging us, what is challenging us in that moment, so that we can see it in a larger way. All right, let me move on here. Let's see. Lack, release, prosperity, little wing of Sarah's little community. Okay. This is called mastery invocation. Your mastery from information first. Your mastery from all of your thousands of lifetimes sits above your head in your soul star chakra. It is waiting for you to remember it and recall it. It is waiting for your body to be sufficiently prepared and opened for its embodiment. It is time to remember all that you are. So if you reach your hand above your head, the soul star chakra is right at the end of your arm, directly above your crown chakra. So being aware of that, we call this forth. By divine decree, under the law of grace and love, and in accordance with divine will, in the name of God, Goddess, all that is, and my own divine I am, God, Goddess presence, I call upon my mastery that I've accumulated in my soul from all of my lifetimes, past, present, and future, across time, space, and dimension, to return to me now and to be embodied here and now with grace and ease. For the activation of my divine mission and the co-creation of heaven on earth. And I ask for these masterful abilities and divine functioning to be embodied easily and gracefully, and all elements hindering this mastery be released to the light, all necessary DNA to be aligned and brought to full function, all channels to be opened, and all vows, agreements, and contracts rescinded, broken, and released to the light. So that the power of that can be manifested fully in my experience, and so it is, and so it is. Man, it's just potent stuff. All right, I'm moving down here. You see what the triple grid is. Okay, this looks interesting. This is called the triple grid. It says this technique is for keeping areas like your home, workplace, and car energetically clean. In the triple grid technique, you ask the specific group to set up their level of the grid, designating the geometric shape, size, and location. Spherical grids are the most stable and easy to maintain, so we suggest working with this geometry for most everyday applications, such as around your home, your car, or your workplace. You will want to renew the grid daily. Here's what it says. Legions of Michael, grid level 1, spherical, my house. Destroyer Force Angels, grid level 2, spherical, my house. Circle Security, grid level 3, spherical, my house. Destroyer Force Angels, please spin your grid, spinning out astral entities and astral gates or portals, astral distractions, adverse electromagnetic frequencies, adverse astrological influences, fear, disharmony, anger, expectation, frustration, worry, virus, funguses, bacteria, parasites, physical and astral inner disharmony and abusiveness, enemy patterning, suspicion, distortions to co-creation, miscommunication, karmic monad, sadness, scarcity, loneliness, denial, and projection, martyrdom, anything that distorts the communication with the keepers of the legacy, anything that distorts the spiritual signature or communication with spirit. Spin out anything that hasn't been mentioned in this way or any other language, but which you know needs to leave the space at this time. And you let that happen. And when you feel that that is complete, you continue with reverse spin, same stuff. We're commanding through our prayerful conscious connection with the all that is for these things to take place. When that feels complete and with stop spin, thank you. Next phase. Or an additional suggestion, Legions of Michael, infuse your grid with grace, purity, rapture, love, faith, and hope, Elohim, mercy, peace, liberty, harmony, Alpha, Omega, and victory, Elohim, infuse with love, intimacy, tolerance, centeredness, clarity, health, wealth, clear communication with the keepers of the legacy and with spirit, the heart of the legacy unified chakra, full connection with spirit, following spirit without hesitation, mastery, sovereignty, fierce wholeness, living heaven, and anything else that hasn't been mentioned in this or any other language, but which you know needs to be in this space at this time. Please seal your grid. Thank you. So we let that take place. We've asked for the release. We've called forth the release, and now we bring in that which we use to replace the energy that has been vacated. And finally, we end with circle security. Realign your grid to harmonize with upper dimensional grid works. Release all distortions and parasites on the grids. Infuse frequencies for clearer communication with spirit. Seal grid. Thank you. This is really interesting stuff. You know, I'm speaking it out loud here, and I'm feeling a lot of energy from these things being spoken like this. I'm not sure they're coming through the phone, but by tomorrow, when you get the updated element in the support page, I really invite you to play with these a little bit. What we just did is a potent, potent cleansing of a house. I'm just saying. Okay, this is called the Universal Law of Divine Bliss. It actually is making a comment about a universal law, even though we've done this already. In terms of talking about the laws, this is another perspective, and then we're going to activate the law through a prayer intention. The law of divine bliss is a universal law that retains the true essence and original blueprint of our God presence body of love and light. Call upon this law to reconnect you to your God presence and experience the love and power of you as this divine being. As you attune to the law of divine bliss, your heart, mind, and creation flame within opens and reconnects you to the God presence force that connects and is all beings. The essence and experience of divine bliss has always been the goal of meditation throughout all the ashrams and monasteries of time. The reconnection that is created through aligning one's consciousness to the higher mind, to no mind, is the attainment of enlightenment or the reconnection to one's origin or true nature as God presence. This law states that the true nature of God is divine bliss. Through the invocation of this law and through meditation and other pathways, the reconnection to divine bliss is created and our true nature as God presence is revealed and embodied. When one experiences bliss, they are experiencing our natural state of God consciousness. Call upon this law, especially when you are desiring a reconnection to your divinity and for the enlightenment of any aspects that are resistant to the embodiment of this God presence that you are and your divine mission as the ascension master that you are. And any aspects that believe themselves to be unworthy of receiving and experiencing bliss. And to create full connection to this beautiful wave of divine bliss and a reconnection to your God presence through this divine energy, call for the law of divine bliss to flow through you. And here is the invocation on that. By divine decree, I invoke the power of the universal law of divine bliss to flow through me and every aspect of my beingness, expanding and realigning my frequencies into divine alignment with my God presence. I am the essence and embodiment of divine bliss. I am God presence. I am the source of all that is. I am meditation in motion. I am complete alignment. I am complete enlightenment. I am God consciousness. I am Satchitananda. I am Satchitananda. Again, we repeat these three times. I am the essence and embodiment of divine bliss. I am God presence. I am the source of all that is. I am meditation in motion. I am complete enlightenment. I am God consciousness. I am Satchitananda. I am the essence and embodiment of divine bliss. I am God presence. I am the source of all that is. I am meditation in motion. I am complete enlightenment. I am God consciousness. I am Satchitananda. And this mantra of divine bliss is invited to be sung 12 times. And most likely it would be different each time. Om Maya Ma Kita Raku Anape Anamu. 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 And so it is. And so it is. We're seeing that these prayers are very different because they're very active prayers. I invite you to find prayers that mean something to you, that resonate with you for now. And in the process of locating these, make sure that every word in it aligns with an intention and the frequency that you want to carry. If you are drawn to an ancient prayer, update it. Update it to fit you and make it part of your practice. See, what's beginning to happen here, as we claim and act in good faith that the world we are calling forth and the forms of life that we're calling forth will be there for us. And in this frequency, we ask less for things that we don't have. We keep opening up by these frequencies to invite oh so much more in that we right now may not even have the awareness of. I'm going to do a couple more of these laws. I think they are pretty potent elements. This is the universal law of grace. The law of grace provides a completely new start without any reference to the past. It wipes the slate clean. All is forgiven. All is healed. All is released from that which binds it. Grace facilitates flow that was previously bogged down by old patterns and traumatic memory. It clears the karmic patterns. It enlightens all that is held in the Akashic records that is not in alignment with grace to its highest potential with love and compassion. By calling upon the law of grace, your heart is open to the wave of grace that holds the universe in divine synchronicity. The power of grace aligns you to God's source, and by calling on the power of grace in your life and manifestations, you are reconnected to the divine flow, synchronicity, and divine timing of creation. Call upon the law of grace to shift anything to its divine state, releasing it from any old patterns. Call upon the divine grace to flow through your awakening process to always create newness rather than old patterns that arise over and over again. Call upon divine grace to flow through every project you endeavor to do. The essence and power of grace takes precedence in one's life when you have made the fundamental choice to follow your own spirit. When personal will has been surrendered to divine will, then you naturally live in a state of grace through divine faith. Through this act of surrender, your divine spirit can then use you in ways that were previously not possible. When you have aligned your personal desires with that of the divine plan and the desires plan that your soul has for you, then grace can consistently create new life and experiences without any karmic reference to the past. Through grace, all prayers are answered in divine timing and in accordance with the divine plan. Calling upon this law is especially useful when you're feeling disconnected from the flow of life. When your life is revolving in a stagnant loop and the same shit keeps happening over and over again. It is also useful when you are suffering from karmic or genetic survival in fear-based programs that say to push and to fight. When you are desirous to make spirit the captain of your ship rather than your ego that is struggling for the lack of the divine feminine, it is also useful to embody your divine rhythm, your divine feminine, becoming in tune with the flow of your own spirit and natural way of being. Grace is within you, says Ramana Maharishi. Grace is the self. Grace is not something to be acquired from others. If it is external, it is useless. All that is necessary is to know its existence in you. You are never out of its operation. So now, to create full connection to the power of divine grace and healing through this divine energy, call for the law of divine grace to flow through you. And here we go. By divine decree, I invoke the healing power of the universal law, divine grace, to flow through me and all aspects of my beingness, expanding and realigning my frequencies into divine flow and rhythm in alignment with divine grace. I am the power and essence of divine grace. I am in tune with the rhythm of Mother Earth and the entire universe. I am in tune with the divine rhythm of my natural way of beingness. Every second of my life is a fresh start in the now moment. Through divine grace, all of the past is forgiven. I am eternally held within the grace of God's heart. I am eternally held within the grace of God's heart. I am eternally held within the grace of God's heart. Ma katu, 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 ma katu. So it is, and so it is, and so it is. Whew. One more. The law of sacred resonance. It's a magnetic force that pulls us all back to the true path of love and draws everything back to source. The law of resonance also attracts to us in an unconditionally loving way anything that we are in resonance with, good or bad, to show us where we are out of alignment or where we are in alignment with divinity, with oneness. Simply put, like attracts like, or anything that we are in alignment with that has similar vibrational frequency, negative or positive, we attract to ourselves. This is the nature of relationship, codependence, or divine union, depending on where all parties are in their consciousness. The power of the law of resonance also creates our heart flame to open, clearing the pathways through dimensions by which we naturally attract and recollect all soul aspects that are not in resonance with love and divinity back into the light, back into the wholeness of ourselves. This is created through sacred resonance based on where we are now personally functioning in consciousness in alignment with love and God, Goddess Source. The law of resonance also facilitates the embodiment of your divine abilities and reconnection to your multidimensional wholeness through aligning your energies to your mastery and the natural abilities available to you as creator, God, goddess that you are. So this law is especially useful when you are desirous to embody your divine mission and become fully activated on all levels to accomplish everything your soul desires for you to accomplish and embody all the abilities necessary to manifest your complete mastery into this dimension. To create full connection to power of sacred resonance and a realignment to the divine attraction, call for the universal law of sacred resonance to flow through you, realigning frequencies into divine alignment. And here it is. By divine decree, I invoke the power of universal law of sacred resonance to flow through me and every aspect of my beingness, expanding and realigning my frequencies to divine attraction. I am the divine power of sacred resonance. All that is in perfect alignment with my soul and spirit manifests easily and gracefully in my life. Source, God, Goddess, and I are one. This is the mantra. And it's sung 12 times. Miya kaya maru raku rani rike lamu sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike lamu sita kumu mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maku ramu ranu rike rama sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya ramu raku ranu rike ramu sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kumu mara numu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya ramu raku ranu kirike ramu sita kumu mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kumu mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kumu mara namu peyo unumaka. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kuru mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya maru raku ranu rike ramu sita kumu mara namu peyo ukuma. Maya kaya mara raku ranu rike ramu sita kuma mara namu peyo ukuma. And so it is. Prayer, conscious connection. A different flavor tonight. It went in a direction based upon the interferences that were occurring. But I believe you're getting the thrust of the intention of this is to realize that prayer is far beyond how we've treated it before. It is supreme awareness. It is the capacity of knowing that we are owe so much more within and without, and we call upon all of the resources and claim them as if they are so. And in this frequency, we formulate the form, formulate the life that we desire and deserve based upon the power of our magnetic intention and our capacity to observe, to claim, to focus, and to act upon that which shows up. This is a whole different way of living. This is a whole different way of having connection with things. The world is big. The multidimensionality of it is bigger. Our connection with all forms of life, the seen and the unseen, is an essential element to a life of prayer. We call and ask for help in our moments of living, but most often we claim our power and presence in an unending dance of gratitude and allow grace to just bless us. Why not? Why not? Whew! That was interesting. So here we are. We did prayer, conscious connection, and next week, well, this will be a fun little dance. It's called Sacred Sounds. So much of the work that I've done has been related to mantra and all of these things, and chants and sounds. So we'll look a little more deeply in that and play with it, and we'll see how the sound can be expanded upon. I think we'll be looking at inner sounds and outer sounds. And I have a feeling, just this what I'm picking up right now, that it's going to be something beyond what I even know at this point. So that's exciting. So next Tuesday. So it looks like we're going to have two more sessions. Let me just put this out. We'll have this number six, and then we'll have the activity, unless six itself is complete activity, which it might be. And if that's the case, you know, I think that's the way I'm going to treat it. We're just going to make an adjustment. Number six, it's going to be obviously, I believe, a very active thing where we'll participate in, so you'll have your resource page at the point of the call. The following week, Living is Love from an Activated Heart, we're going to go ahead and spend some time dwelling in the heart frequency and looking at multiple ways where we can begin to activate that heart frequency just in time for Christmas. Those two may go back to the original form because they sound like they're perfectly set up for strictly activity as opposed to a bunch of explanation. So for all intents and purposes, that's the way it looks. We'll take a break for Christmas, as far as a Christmas Eve, which is on Thursday night. And I think we'll go ahead and let that previous Tuesday just before Christmas go. And then we'll return the following Tuesday after Christmas before New Year's. And it may be that this is just coming in, that it will be about the power of setting intention. And we'll use that so that we can use it through the energy of the New Year. So I think I'm going to introduce a different topic there as we move into the next element, which is actually the beginning of block four. And so I will delineate those adjustments as I send out the information for you tomorrow with the link. You already have the link, but do know I'm going to invite you to check it again tomorrow because there'll be addendums to it. So thank you so much for being a part of tonight's call, and apologies for some of the moguls we went through and the little bird walks that seemed to happen, but on the big picture, it feels really good on this end. So I am grateful for your choice to show up and be present. I will stay on the line for a moment or two if there are any comments or questions. Otherwise, I wish you just delightful moments, and I invite you to open up to this big, big, big form of prayer and conscious connection with all things. So it is, and so it is.
Good evening, Mark.
Yes.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Is Connie?
Yes, sir.
Hey,
and
sir,
I would like...
gosh, I've reached that state. How are you?
Mark isn't bad. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for this evening. It really touched me very deeply, some of the prayers.
And thank you.
I enjoyed the singing as well. And I just wanted to ask you a quick bookkeeping question. Have
sure.
you, I don't remember what all I paid for. I think I paid through Block 3, but.
Yeah.
And then you start again at the new year. Is that correct?
Yeah, it looks like we're going to start in the new year on Block 4. So I think I'm going to just add as a bonus the one where we're prepping for New Year. So we won't really be looking at Block 4 until the first week, first Tuesday of January. At which point I'll send out a note, and those who would like to continue can go ahead and take
care of that. I don't think you have it on your thing for payment, do you? I think you just have...
Probably don't. So I'll be looking at that while I'm home here and get all of those pieces, you know, and do all of that little legwork that needs to be done to get all that in place.
Yeah, it's just a quick bookkeeping question because I was just looking at it, trying to remember what all I had paid for. So
yeah.
I thought I'd mention it so that other people would know as well. So
thank you
anyway,
so much.
Well, thank you so much for this evening. And I do appreciate it. And I'll be contacting you next year for a mentoring session.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I haven't talked to you for a while, so.
I know. You've been going through some very, very powerful and interesting and powerful things. Are
yeah.
you on the other side of the surgery
mostly,
that you had to have?
Mostly, you know, the fact that you have eyes but you don't see. I mean, it's been a very powerful lesson for me.
Indeed.
Physically not being able to see things, and then you do develop a metaphysical way of seeing as well in understanding life when
right.
you start having health issues. So it's been interesting.
Indeed.
But anyway, thank you so much for this evening, and glad you're doing well.
Thank you, Connie.
Okay, you take care. Bye.
Many blessings, and Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you so much.
You.
Bye-bye.
All right, and so it is.
Hey, Mark, it's Susan.
Hey, Susan.
Thanks for tonight. It was really good. What time Thursday?
Oh, you wanted to move towards 7, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it works for you.
7 it is.
All right. Thank you. Thanks again for tonight. It was very nice.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Stay warm and dry.
Well, we're having major rain at the moment.
I know. I saw that.
The creek is way, way up, higher than it was before.
Oh, really? Wow.
It is. Not up to the bridge yet, but higher than it was before.
Oh, okay.
So, tomorrow morning, I think we'll be flooded. Not quite yet, so I got home safely.
Good. All right. Well, I'll talk to you then on Thursday.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Okay, endless blessings. Anyone else? And so it is.